Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app, now available on Spotify as well. If you want to stream our podcast, you can do that there. You can do it on iTunes. You can do it just about anywhere now, but be sure to download the app anyway. You get there, you ask questions. You can check in with all of our great content on Penn State football. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We started last segment re-ranking the 2018 recruiting class and really just getting into what amounted to how good that class is, how prepared that class was to come in here and you know, maybe have a transformative effect on Penn State's program. You're going to see a lot of these guys play key roles in 2019. We didn't get into the actual re-rank, which will be coming up. But I wanted to, you know, everybody knows Micah Parsons and Jason Elway and Rashid Walker and Justin Short and Ricky Slay. These are names that you've known for a while. Even if they didn't contribute last season, there are high expectations for this year. There are high expectations moving forward. I wanted to go down towards the bottom of the class and look at some of those three stars because you know, maybe in some ordinary cycles, these guys would not be ranked 18th or 20th or 22nd in a single class. Starting with Will Levis, who I guess I still just don't fully understand the recruiting process. He's, and maybe for Levis, who tested off the charts physically. He played in New England, so there was a challenge there for exposure and all that stuff. But. You know, for him to be such a strong and quick athlete and for him to be a starting quarterback and to be able to throw the way it looks like he can throw, I guess I just still don't understand how he could never even sniff a fourth star. But what Penn State does at the quarterback position is that they don't get guys who fit into that pro style mold. They don't fit guys who fit into that dual threat mold, who are making highlight play after highlight play after highlight play with their legs. You know, he's right somewhere in the middle where he can do plenty with his legs, but he's still a preferred pocket passer who just doesn't have those 6'4", 6'5" dimensions. That's it. Right. It's just an interesting dynamic where Penn State is recruiting quarterbacks. I think they're almost always going to be three stars because there's a lot of gray area involved. And so I guess at the end of the day, that is where Will Levis fell. So let me ask you about Charlie Catcher, who he's a linebacker now. I was curious to see, and I don't really know why, you saw his weight drop from in the 220s to like 215, 213 or something like that on the spring roster update. I think we saw something similar last spring where there was maybe like a teardown to build back up, and we're in the middle of that teardown mode with a guy like this. Certainly he's not going to play linebacker at 213 pounds.
Right.
So we're either going to see him scale up or we're going to see him used differently. But, you know, as a high school player, he was one of the best players in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You had some health issues that maybe got in his way of being more highly regarded from a recruiting standpoint. But he was a wide receiver, defensive back, special teams guy. You saw him on punt returns, kick returns. He did just about everything. I still think he has a shot to be really good. Maybe he's just a special teamer or something, but you're going to see him make an impact in one way or another. And if you start to see an impact from guys like this at the bottom of the class, then you're going to see this 2018 class be really, really good.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the one thing I've always worried about with him is just the fact that you never knew – whether he was a safety, a linebacker, you just couldn't. It was hard to get a feel for that. So I do think that he's a guy that once he gets the weight where they want it to be, he will be an impact player, but it's still going to take a little bit of time. I wouldn't be surprised if this year is maybe even a little bit slow for him as well.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure if the expectation is. And I thought it was funny when Bob Flanders had the sit down with Micah Parsons. He got a chance to sit down one on one with him before Micah was made available to everybody else, which was good for him. He brought Charlie Catcher's name up as somebody who might surprise you. We'll see. You always take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
But we'll see. He always struck me as a year four, year five type player.
Definitely. Yeah. He has always been on that track to be more about the long term than short term.
And there's value there. So Bryce Effner seemed to surprise the staff a little bit with the way that he came in. Somewhere between, I think maybe he's that swing player. He could end up being a tackle. I don't. At this point, do you know where they would have him ticketed in 2019, or is it at guard / tackle?
I think if the season started today, it would be tackle, but I think they still have some time to play around with that whole idea over the next couple months.
But he's a long sort of on the skinny side, offensive lineman. But I think that the impression I got, anyway, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that he was a pleasant surprise for the staff with how prepared he came in last year. Not high expectations, certainly. Not high expectations to compete right away. He was another guy who was probably ticketed as, you hope, year three, year four, year five, maybe he can start to be a factor. But I think he's on that track.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's a guy that Mike Miranda got a lot of buzz during the first summer he was on campus, and Bryce Effner didn't quite get that, but I could see him being a buzz guy during summer camp this year as well. We always hear James Franklin point out some guys that maybe aren't ones who would play right away, but certainly are ones that could play in the future based on what they're doing for either the scout team or on the third team with the limited reps they get in practice and so on and so forth. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. He is, of all the guys in this class, he might be the best bet to outperform his star rating.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. There's a few that I think are on board with that same thinking. Number one, I still am a big fan of not just PJ Mustipher, but the Aeneas Hawkins and Judge Culpepper duo. Hawkins seems like more of a three technique kind of guy who's going to win with quickness. Culpepper was 20 pounds heavier showing up than I expected him to be. And really that weight number, I felt like was the only thing standing between a 3-star and a 4-star prospect. When you're 265, it's hard to get that 4-star. So now that he's at that 286, 288 range, I'm not sure if 2019 is going to be the year. It's an interesting depth chart, and there's going to be some opportunity for guys just like him. But I think both of those guys are going to make an impact before their careers are over. And you know, they too were at the bottom of that class. But you look at that group of defensive tackles as a whole, Mustipher, Hawkins, Culpepper, I just love that mix of talent that they brought in.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the better defensive tackle recruiting classes Penn State has had during the James Franklin era, and it's not always been pretty when it comes to recruiting that position. I feel like a lot of people praise Penn State's defensive line recruiting over the last six classes, and I would agree with it at the end, but not so much the defensive tackle. It's been a much harder road to hoe there, and you've seen them have to move C.J. Thorpe over. You have seen them move Kevin Givens inside. Damian Barber had to move from defensive end to defensive tackle. At some point, they cannot keep recruiting swing guys that could be guards or tackles on offense. At some point, they cannot keep recruiting defensive ends and just really hope that they grow into defensive tackles. At some point, you need some hammer defensive tackles, and they have a couple candidates in this class. I don't know if PJ Mustipher is ready to play a gigantic role this year, but he'll definitely be on the field as the second guy behind Shelton and Robert Winter.
Think about the break in recruiting when it came to defensive tackles, because it took Franklin until, 2017 to get a highly regarded defensive tackle.
Right.
They were swinging and missing, and to a certain extent, there wasn't a whole lot they could have done about that, I feel like. Christian Wilkins, obviously, who just went in the first round of the draft, is the example of all examples there.
Right.
But you've started to see them connect the dots at defensive tackle. The problem is that position, you know, I think linebacker was in the same spot. That position at defensive tackle just takes longer for that recruiting work to actually show up on the field. I don't know. You're going to start to get a sense of it in 2019, but I think moving forward, they've strung together a few classes in a row where they've gotten quality defensive tackles. And I think you're going to see that change the complexion of the position. I think they're going to move beyond maximizing 3-stars, and they're going to have some real bona fide, you know, maybe someday NFL caliber talent to be working with. And, you know, I think this 2018 class is a big part of that.
Yeah. This is a group that I think to say make or break is too dramatic, quite frankly, but this is a group that has the opportunity to really, if Penn State is going to win a Big Ten title again in the next, say, 2 to 3 years and be in the college football playoff conversation, most of the guys in this class will have to be high-level contributors for that to take place. So if that's going to happen, you're going to hear a lot of these guys' names being called on Saturday afternoons in the fall.
So looking at the defensive tackles, you can near the top of the – I don't know about at the top of the depth chart, but near the top of the depth chart. Look at Robert Windsor was a 3-star late addition to his recruiting class. Antonio Shelton, sort of an afterthought in his own recruiting class. I don't know if he'll be a starter, if Mustafa will be a starter, how that ends up working. You look at Damian Barber was a defensive end who needed all the way through July to get cleared to arrive on campus at all.
Right.
And he's in the middle of this transition. So you look at, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys at the top of that depth chart were not highly valued recruits in any sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They've made do at defensive tackle.
Right.
They've moved guys inside. You know, where would they have been without moving Anthony Zettel inside, for example? So they've made do there without getting elite guys. So the question is, as they start to get guys who are more resemble elite talent, what can Sean Spencer do with that? I think that's an exciting thought moving forward. So let me get through the re-rank. It's tricky. You got some information, not a lot. I've still got Micah Parsons at 1. I've got Jason Elway at 2. Pat Freiermuth at 3. Ricky Slade at 4. Justin Shorter at 5. PJ Mustafa still at 6, but not a lot of difference between 2 and 6. Rasheed Walker at 7. Jahan Dotson at 8. Jesse Lucada at 9. Will Levis at 10. Judge Culpepper. Zach Kuntz, just because we don't know a whole lot more about him now than we did when he came in. Daniel George is at, you know, an interesting spot on the depth chart because there's some good players in, some experienced players coming in. What's his role going to be like? Juice Scruggs, Aeneas Hawkins, Nick Tarburton, Jake Pinniger, Charlie Catcher, Trent Gordon, Bryce Hefner, and then the transfer Isaiah Humphreys and the two guys with the heart conditions, Nana Asidu and Jordan Minor. Boy, I know that anything could still happen yet, but the top half of this class has a chance to be extraordinary. The bottom half still has a chance to play some really solid, sound roles early in their careers. I do think that it's hard to compare this class to classes in the 90s or, you know, when Derek Williams came aboard, that class of what it was, 2005.
It's such a different world of evaluating and everything else.
It is, but I think this one has a chance to be the best in Penn State history. And then I think 2019 will be high on that list too. So the question is, how does this show up on the field between 2018 and 2019? We'll start to find out this fall. One more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're sticking with player review series, looking at Ellis Brooks, Michael Johnson Jr., Sean Clifford, right after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.